This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Our guest today is a 92-year-old veteran of the 17th Airborne Division, the Golden Talons, who delivered their thunder from heaven in World War II. We've heard Julian Mazuka remember how his family in his native Texas urged him to cross the border into Mexico and avoid the draft. But he was determined to do the right thing, as he put it, and serve his country. In March of 1945, he jumped out of a C-47 over Germany as part of Operation Varsity. And 6 weeks of frontline combat later, the war in Europe was over. But it's not as if you got to come home right away or anything, is it?
Well, I was supposed to go to Japan. In July, they dissolved the 17th Division. In August, they transferred me to the 82nd. And then the 82nd sent me to Japan. And we get the boat from Marseille. We're supposed to be in Panama Canal in 7 days. And we rest, I don't know, about a week. And then we go to Australia. And from Australia, we're supposed to jump someplace in the Pacific. But 2 days before we come to Panama, Japan surrendered. So they turned around and came to Virginia. And I was here 3 days later. 4 days later, I was in the United States.
Well, I know it was a long time ago, but let me ask you about that, because here you've been through this war in Europe and you've seen so many guys like you get killed, and you've come close enough yourself to find out that they expected you to go over to Japan and go fight another enemy. Was that something that was hard for you to swallow or no big deal?
Then we were very happy to go. We already whipped Germany. We're going to whip Japan.
So then were you disappointed when you didn't even make it to the Panama Canal?
Disappointed because we didn't make it.
I'm sure at some point that disappointment turned to celebration, right?
Yeah, well, they did.
What did it feel like to be back in America after everything you'd been through?
Oh, there was something, especially when you get out of the boat and you see flags and a lot of saying that you can let your heart come to your mouth.
Made you emotional to see that.
Very excited.
And what about seeing your family again?
Well, they was nice, too, when they see you and they know that nothing happened, too.
You marched in some parades when you got home?
Well, yeah, we wasn't given 30 days furlough. And then I went back to St. Pedro, they gave me another 30 days furlough. And then I went to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. That's where we stayed. And then when the 82nd came from Europe, we meet them in New York. And we marched in New York, we marched in Washington, D.C., we marched in Philadelphia.
What did you see in those places? What kind of reception did you guys receive?
Well, everybody treats very nice, very, very nice.
I've had a lot of guys tell me that America was different then, and that there was a unity in this country, that everybody believed in what you guys were doing, and you were all in it together. Did you feel something like that?
Well, I was very proud of what we do. I was feeling very proud of myself, and I'm very proud of what I've been doing.
And it sounds like they made you feel like they were pretty proud of you, too.
I think so.
When you think back on all of that now, everything that you endured, everything that you went through, being a paratrooper and a World War II veteran, what are you most proud of?
Well, I guess what I did, I was very proud of what I did. And it's something that nobody can take it away from you.
When you see other guys who are paratroopers, do you have a connection with them that you wouldn't have with anybody else?
Well, we used to have a reunion. We don't do that anymore. But we used to have a reunion every year. We got two, one local and one national.
Let's talk about Honor Flight. You're going to be flying to Washington, D.C. next month. You're not going to try to jump out of that airplane with a parachute, are you?
I hope not.
What do you think you'll get out of that? Why does that seem like something you would like to do?
I don't know. It's something that I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know what are we supposed to do.
Well, you haven't been to the National World War II Memorial, have you?
No, I don't think so. I was in Washington 1 week before when we were in a parade, and I think I went to the White House.
You guys marched right up to the White House?
Oh, yeah.
President Truman come out and wave, or what?
Well, yeah, he was right in front of us.
That must have made you feel important.
So, make you very proud.
Well, at that World War II memorial, there are some powerful Pacific quotes inscribed in granite. There's a Pacific Pavilion on one side, an Atlantic Pavilion on the other. There's a pillar for each state. So I know that California and probably your native Texas will be meaningful to you. Go see the wreaths by those state names. But the one thing that I hear the most from veterans about, and certainly what's been the most moving part of the memorial for me and all the visits I've had the privilege of making, the field of stars, 4,000 gold stars representing the 400,000 Americans who died while serving in World War II. Underneath the stars, it reads simply, "Here we mark the price of freedom." Yes, that freedom is costly. Do you ever think about that? All the guys who died in World War II and the fact that you could have been one of them? And what do you think we need to remember about those 400,000?
So is there something you remember the rest of your life? Those guys that got killed and they didn't come home. And we think it was lucky one like me. Nothing happens.
So you're looking forward to that trip?
I think so, yeah.
You're 92. I know you're not planning on going anywhere other than Washington, D.C. And we expect to have you around for a while. But when you think about your children and your grandchildren and their children, what do you think people should remember about World War II and about the Americans who went over and fought for freedom? People like you, what should we remember about what you did?
Something we'd be very proud to do those things.
Do you feel like what you did was important?
I think so. Very important.
Did you ever have to deal with interesting weather conditions?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it rained, and rain or no rain, it don't matter.
You had, your clothes weren't warm enough, so you stole a German overcoat?
Yeah, the third day, the two guys that got killed, we supposed to dig a hole. So what we did, we take those guys out of the hole and throw them out, and we used the same hole to stay at night, because the enemy gets brought up from here to that house, not very far from us.
So the enemy was real close, and you needed some place to sleep.
It was getting dark, and we had to get us a dig hole, and the hole is already dig. All we had to get those guys out of there. Then we got cold after that around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. We take the clothes off and we use the same coat and we cover it with that.
So first you move the dead Germans out of the hole so you can sleep there, and then you go take one of the dead Germans' coats to stay warm?
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever you have to do to survive, right?
Right.
You know, you didn't mention anything about 88s. Did you experience the infamous German artillery heading your way, those 88 millimeters?
We hear the noise when they come and we hit the ground because, you know, shooting us, and you can hear the noise. And we had to hit the ground, and we were hoping nothing happened.
Would you do it all over again?
Well, I'm too old to do that, but if I have to, I do it once, I can do it twice.
You're going on this trip, and you have not one, but two sons-in-law going with you. What does that mean to you that both of your daughter's husbands are going to take you on this?
I'll be very proud and be happy to go with me. I know they're going to spend some money, but...
They must think you're pretty special.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, they asked me a long time ago if I want to go. I said, yeah, if they fill the papers, and I guess we call a fight for that.
If you walk outside and you see the American flag flying, does that mean something to you?
Damn right. This is something to me.
What does it mean to you?
Well, it means something that we in a free country, and we fight to get us and our land free.
Before I forget, I want to say thank you, Mr. Mazuka, for serving our country. Thank you for telling us a few of your experiences. And what's this I hear about you becoming the runner for your company, relaying messages?
I learned something, and especially to answer the telephone every night. We had to stay a couple of hours in the telephone, and all night long, checking all the companies. And all I had to do is when they called Company B, said, "This Company B, are you okay?" "Yeah, we all right." And we hear the noise, whatever that happened, all night long. And when they come to Company B, well, that's my company. I had to answer that. And I learned quite a bit of things. I was kind of afraid because my English was very bad. But I said, "Sergeant, I don't want to do that." He said, "No, you do all right, Julian. You go ahead and stay there." And I'm glad I did. Yeah, because I was in company headquarters. I was with the captain most of the time.
If somebody came to you and said, "You know, I want to be a paratrooper. Do you think I'm cut out for it?" What do you think it takes to make a paratrooper?
You had a lot of nerves. Yeah, because that's kind of scary.
So you're a pretty gutsy guy, huh?
A lot of extra, so you had to be in pretty good shape. Very good shape to be a paratrooper.
I know we're backing up chronologically a bit, but I wonder if people have heard this one before. you mentioned how hard it was to pass and how many did not get through that training, but how do you get disqualified when you're training to be a paratrooper? There's one thing that'll really blow it for you, right? What is that?
Well, when you're a paratrooper, they have to put you out of the airplane once or twice. They disqualify you.
Yeah, you have to jump out on your own. And it sure sounds like you did that pretty fearlessly. Julian Mazuka. Can't wait to see the smile on his 92-year-old face when we welcome back that inaugural honor flight on Halloween. Thanks to his son-in-law, David Baca, for facilitating our interview. If you have a veteran you think I ought to talk to, send me an email, paul@hometownheroesradio.com. We can interact on Facebook, too. Just type in Hometown Heroes Radio. And remember, if you're anywhere near Clovis a week from Monday, the date is October 7th, Monday night, October 7th. We'll be showing the incredible Honor Flight documentary again and celebrating the Clovis Veterans Memorial District's great support of Central Valley Honor Flight. We're out of time on the program for today. Thanks for listening to Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you, as I try to each week, that freedom is not free.